The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea. Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey. Hello.
And welcome back to 20 Whatever. We are here catching up with the girls. It's been a hot minute since we've reunited.
It has.
How are we feeling?
Tired.
Tired.
Yeah. Not gonna lie.
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday today, so we still have the other half of the week to go.
But it feels like a Friday. It feels like, after this, it's the weekend. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's not.
Nope.
It's not. Oh my gosh, there's nothing like realizing you thinking it's Friday and it simply isn't Friday.
I woke up on Monday and I was like, it feels like Friday today.
Oh,
it's Monday. Like, that's not good.
On a Monday? Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. I've started off real rough.
Yeah, you're like, we're starting down here.
Yeah. I gotta climb my way back up.
You're like, yesterday was Sunday. Oh boy, I didn't take it to recharge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But sometimes you don't have the weekends to recharge and you're like, I'm actually using the weekend to catch up on the shit that I didn't catch up on during the week.
Yeah.
Although I will say, it basically is the weekend for me starting on Friday because we're going on our baby moon.
Ooh. Right.
And we were going to leave in the afternoon and I was going to be with Grace because usually I'm with her all day Friday. So mm-hmm. I was going to be with her till like 3 o'clock or whatever till we left. Mm-hmm. And then my little brother and my sister-in-law who just got Disney passes were like, hey, I know you guys are leaving on Friday and like Grace is staying at my parents' house and they live there too. They were like, could we take her to Disneyland with us? We're going to leave at 8 a.m. And I was like,
oh my.
I talked to Steven about it. We're like, yeah, like we're comfortable with that. So all of a sudden now,
I have a day.
Oh my gosh.
Before you even leave.
Yes. And this all came about yesterday. So damn. I'm like, I have already planned out my whole week.
How fun.
What am I going to do with this extra like 4 or 5 hours?
Right.
Sleep. I think.
Sleep. Right. Right.
Although I kind of want to like go get my nails done. Because it's been some time.
Treat yourself, girl. Yeah, T.
It makes me think of our Malibu trip. Treat yourself.
TBT.
That was so fun to shoot, by the way. I really enjoyed shooting that when we were in Malibu.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so where are you guys going to be going for the baby moon? So we're going to this resort in Dana Point called Monarch Beach.
Cute.
And Steven is very proud because he finangled his Hilton points, to pay for the entire stay. Mm. And it's like a very expensive hotel, but it's free.
It's on points, consider it free.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I like booking trips like so long in advance because by the time I get to them, I'm like, oh my God, I paid
it's
for
free.
These. Yeah, it's free. At this point, it's been 2 years since I bought the hotel and plane tickets. It's free. Yeah.
Totally.
And that's how it is with points, too. So that's awesome.
We weren't going to do a baby moon. Mm. And then we're looking at our Hilton points and we're like, yeah, we're not really going to be like traveling for a while after the baby gets here.
Right.
And we haven't had as much like time together, just the two of us in a while. And we were like, what if we just used them? What if we just went somewhere? And so we're going for 2 nights. We're going to get massages.
Love that.
Hang by the pool and just like be a couple. And not parents for, 48 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that's good.
Did you guys do one before you had Grace?
We did. Mm. Yeah, we went to not Tahoe.
Scream.
Somewhere north with snow. It
wasn't Big Bear because I remember that was during the Mr. Kate video.
Yeah, it was really far. Oh, God, my brain. This is embarrassing. Hold on. Hold, please.
I was going to say the only reason I remember is because you guys made that mobile.
Yes, we did. When Mr. Kate was doing Grace's nursery, we left on our baby moon so that they could
do everything here. That's right.
Sierra and Steven, baby moon. The way that I use my vlogs as like... literally. This is embarrassing, you guys.
It was kind of a long time ago, I guess. Right? Almost 3 years ago.
This is so
Wait, go to your Instagram because I think you tagged the location after.
I'm dead at this right now. I'm screaming.
But having like a log?
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, right? Because it's great for you to go back and look at, but also everyone can go back and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So sometimes I'll like say things I've forgotten. Did you get
Tahoe? It's in the description.
Oh, it was Tahoe.
You knew.
She knew.
It's somewhere like Tahoe, but not Tahoe.
Not Tahoe. Somewhere with snow and more north. Okay.
Okay.
We're like, Tahoe? No.
No, no, definitely not Tahoe. But right, like everyone else can go back and look at this log too, right. Mm-hmm. And they can look at it, you know, years past it happened. Yeah. So it's very fresh for them. Sometimes right. I'll like say something or misremember something and they're like, you said that 4 years ago. And yeah. I'm like, I don't remember.
Right. The receipts.
I know.
You lived that yesterday when you watched it. I lived that right. 4 years ago.
Right.
That's so tea.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We can all go back and look, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Me hiding my old YouTube videos.
I know.
Yeah, unlisted. Lock.
I know.
Anyways, what do you guys have going on the rest of the week? Weekend, looking down the road.
My grandma's in town right now. Ooh. So she turns 90 this year. So think like her coming down here this year and we're going to have a big party for her where I'm from in Indiana in this May. So she's here, which is very exciting. Lots of family time. I mean, obviously we worked a ton. We ladies in this room worked a ton this week. So probably just catching up on other work stuff and spending some time with my family.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. Chill. 90 is a big deal.
Huge. I'm like, couldn't be me.
Oh my gosh. 90 years
90.
Old. She's been on this planet for 90 years.
That sounds
years.
Awful.
That sounds bananas. I genuinely.
Sound like you've seen too much.
Oh, that sounds awful.
She has.
Ryan.
What? Think about that. I've been here not even 30 and I'm like, it's too much. I've seen too much.
I know too much. Your grandma's like, I have seen.
Yeah. She was born in like 19, like 30 something.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah, she's seen and knows
what,
a
like,
lot.
Like literally what?
I genuinely want you to ask her, and maybe that's what you do is like when it like the birthday party rolls around, right. You're like, grandma, obviously you've been on this planet for 90 years and what an amazing experience and wild ride. Now.
Wild ride.
Now, please, if you have any advice or like what is something that really stuck with you or you learned from this 90 years of life, let her and just let her tell you something and report back, please. Because I know that's going to be some wise ass wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Also, get the recipes now.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Let's take a quick pause and hear a word from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Ritual. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? Enter Ritual. Ritual's prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly omega-3 DHA in every serving, and the oil is sourced from algae instead of fish, so it's vegan. I love that I don't have to take an extra supplement to get my omega-3s during pregnancy. I get it together with my prenatal from Ritual, and it's so gentle on my stomach with their delayed release capsule design and that nice lemon or mint smell minus the lemon. So it's been easier for me to keep up with my daily ritual, not stress over it, and just make sure my body is getting what it needs from a prenatal to support me and baby. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. They've been rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual multivitamins are vegan. They're non-GMO project certified, gluten and major allergen-free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. And they have industry-leading sustainability standards with their lower carbon packaging, focus on sustainably sourced ingredients, and ambitious climate goals. Ritual is also female-founded. We love that. So why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/20. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women Prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/20 for 25% off.
Is she like a sentimental person?
Like as far as like, what do you mean? Like,
life and her life and the things that she experienced.
Yeah.
You should get her. There's this thing, I think it's a book or it's like a workbook, but it's meant for like younger generations to sit down with their elders and like ask them questions about their life. There's prompts. And so you can ask them things that they probably wouldn't think to tell you and stories they wouldn't think to tell you.
Right.
To kind of create a recorded history, not only for you, but like for future generations.
Oh, I love that. Nice.
Also, in the event of like dementia or Alzheimer's, incredibly helpful, like memory set music wise, because there's a point where they're not going to be able to tell you.
And
activating parts of like long-term memory can be great. So
I ask if she's sentimental because my cousin got that for my grandma and my grandma is not sentimental. And my grandma was like, oh, that's okay. We don't have to do this.
Like, fun.
No, thank you.
I'm screaming.
My cousin was like, wouldn't it be so beautiful? Like, we could sit down together and do
She's
this.
Like,
She's like, tennis is on. It's the U.S. Open. Can't.
And let's talk about that. And let's talk about the U.S. Open.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you.
No, thank you. That's so sweet. No, thanks.
That was totally it. But if that's something that your grandma would love.
Yeah, I think she would be super down with that. Yeah. I definitely had a real like moment with my mom when we were talking about my grandma being like 90. She was like, yeah, she's like, you know, she's getting older. She can't really like see like as well or whatever. And she was just like looking at me like, and I was like, yeah, damn. Right.
We need to really treasure these moments with her.
Yeah, it was definitely like a, hey, we need to like be spending time and doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I hate that, but I totally get it.
And being present, you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
I hate to acknowledge that because you just obviously don't want to. You just want to, oh, you know, grandma and it's fine and I don't have, whatever. But like.
I know.
Nah, people don't live forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little sad, but she's healthy and it's fine and it's whatever. But I'm definitely like, I need to take these moments and just be really present with her and take pics and stuff.
She's gonna have a party, right?
She's gonna have a huge party. Well,
at the farm?
At the farm. At the farm. This is like a little bit morbid, but she was like, yes, a funeral, cool, love that. But I want all my flowers now. She's like, I want to celebrate with everybody while I'm here.
Yeah.
And so she's having the birthday party. Basically, she's like, yeah, it's like a funeral, and I want everybody to talk and give speeches. She's like, she wants the thing. She's like, I'm not going to be there, so I don't care what you say.
So everyone write a really nice thing about me.
Yeah, she's a Gemini. Great.
A Gemini. Oh, she's like, I'm going to just sit down and just everyone
and
tell
take
me.
It all in.
I love it.
Get her flowers, have
love
a party.
That. Ryan gets to the mic. He's like, I actually am going to be doing a roast. Listen,
literally.
I'm about to shake shit up. Yeah. So, Grandma.
So, Grandma. Yeah. So,
dude, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I need to take a – that's, like, smart, though. I'm like, you're right. What good is a funeral, really?
Yeah.
It's because it's not for you. It's for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what – not to get morbid, but that's what funerals are. They're not for them.
Yeah.
It's for us to, like, be okay.
Right.
They're not here.
There's a quote from a John Green book that, of course, lives deep in my memory because, as we learned in the Eras episode, that was part of my identity.
Right.
Funerals are not for the dead. They're for the living.
It's true. Correct.
Was it on the wall?
It probably was. Probably.
Let's see. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that Grammy will get her flowers.
Yes.
Get to celebrate in it.
And enjoy it and, you know.
And, like, relish in it.
Yes.
Just, like, be with all of her family. Because also, like, that's the only time people get together, too, is during funerals. And it's sad. And then all you see all your family. And what do you say? We can't let the next time we do this be when somebody's passing away. And then it is because, you know, life.
Right.
But this will be a time where it's actually like
we're
all here and everyone's here and alive and feeling good.
And going to Indiana, right? It's like, it's in Indiana. So that's awesome that everyone's going to be traveling to Indiana. Your grandma's going to be like, everyone's literally coming here and we're going to have a party. That's going to be awesome for her.
Yeah.
And your mom has a lot of siblings, right? So she has a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be big.
It's going to be huge.
Lit.
A rager. Grandma's rager.
Yeah, I'm
at
like,
the farm.
We're taking shots.
Are you vlogging?
Dude, my mom was like, that would be very different content because we were talking about it, obviously. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be vlogging on the farm, y'all. But might get some cute cow pics.
I left the city. It's real me. It's
Hannah Montana.
Yeah. It's going
to
be.
Wait, it's that episode of That's a Raven where she goes to the farm. It's like that two-parter episode.
Yes.
And she has the stilettos on with the cow stilettos. Yeah.
Yes. And she like play. It's like
she's
the Nutty
playing
Professor.
Like all
yeah,
of the-
she's playing everybody.
Yeah.
What an icon. What a great episode.
I know. Only so Raven Simone could pull that
right.
off.
Queen.
Right. Incredible. Well.
Well, what you got going?
What about me?
What about you?
Let me tell you. I'm going to be so for real. I am like, we are on low steam, you guys. I feel like my week didn't start like even on the weekend. Like we started going even before then because I had auditions and callbacks.
Oh my God, yes.
And then I tried to sneak in like my anniversary in between before coming to shooting. And so I think.
And we went to Dear Media.
And we went.
Also.
Yes.
Let's
start there. That's actually where the chaos started. So let's take it on back. Last week, we went to Dear Media Studios.
Yes, we did.
You
and
guys.
It was a lovely time.
Holy shit.
It was crazy.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Everyone we met was so
nice.
Sweet.
So nice. Dude, it was so LA. We were in WeHo.
I know.
Well, in the big, like, colorful block building.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, maybe, Sierra, you should tell us, because you actually came up to LA for Dear Media. So it started before.
That's actually so
It started before even
Give
we got to
tea.
LA.
I'm sorry. I just, like, derailed you.
No, I realized that you're like, this is where it all started.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I needed to come up to LA at some point to do this before the baby came. And I had a trip to LA planned for Pokemon Go Fest, which was last weekend.
Speak your truth.
Yeah, thank you for being honest.
Yeah, thank you for being honest.
That is my cross to bear. And so that was Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, what if I just come up a day early, do Dear Media, I'm already up there, and then Pokemon Go Fest with my dad. So came up, we did Dear Media, and it was just so cool and so fun. We got to film some content there. Yeah. And just to see everything. And it was very much a moment of like, guys, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Like this idea that we had and that we've been working on now for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, we're here.
I know. It definitely was a pinch me moment.
The person, Jackson, giving us the tour was like, I always stand in this little office, open up the blinds and look over at LA and be like, I am here. And I was like, oh my God. And he really made us realize that like, we were standing there and being like, oh my God, this is a pinch me moment. We are like here in Dear Media. Like,
I know.
Holy shit. And also we're here in LA, like together. Like this is awesome. So, and then we got lunch after, which was so good.
Yes,
the banh mi sandwich.
Zinke.
And I know that there is zinc in LA, but this one is spelled Q-U-E. And if that's not how it's pronounced, I apologize. Please phonetically spell it out and I will start saying it properly.
Yeah, literally.
But from there, I remember we just wrapped Dear Media and then I had to like go home, go on vocal rest.
Yeah.
And then because it was callbacks the next day and I had callbacks since the early morning up until 5 o'clock. And then I had a lovely dinner. Ryan made us dinner for our celebrating Valentine's Day because it was postponed and all that stuff. So did a nice little dinner and then shooting. So I am just ready to, once I am done with all the work this week, literally being a potato and just sitting on the couch horizontally, it's giving Ryan, please go get us Jack in the Box and let's just close ourselves and be together.
Yes.
Right.
I was hoping you would talk about your audition and callbacks, but I didn't want to bring it up because like, you know, I know sometimes talking about those things before you found out, because you're now, both of you are in that waiting period.
Yeah.
We are in the waiting. So it does feel a little like,
it does feel a little like, oh, I talk about it because.
But it
was great. Like,
do you want to say what it was for?
If you're okay, sure.
The internet already knows.
Right. So like, Ryan and I both auditioned for a musical up in LA for In the Heights. Mm-hmm. I know. Hold for screaming.
Silent screaming.
Woo. Okay. So Ryan and I went to these auditions and we were lucky enough to both of us getting callbacks. And so the experience of just going to callbacks was so inspiring and empowering because the casting directors let us know that over 728 people came out for this project. Wow. So Ryan and I were like, wow.
I think they said only like less than 250 got called back.
And when it was time for my callback, I remember going into the room and being like, I wonder how many girls it's going to be. Like, they're talking 700 people. How many girls are in there? And it was me and seven other girls singing for the role of Nina. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was literally pinching myself in that moment. I was like, just being here in this room with these talented people feels such, it felt like an honor. And so I mean,
8 out of 700.
Yes.
Like, that's like, because when they said that, I was like, we need to like really understand like what that means.
She said that again to me. Ryan was like, Paloma, no, like really take that in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit.
How validating is that?
Right.
Yeah. And it's tough because you don't want to
hype yourself up, but you don't want to like take like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I don't
but
know.
Like,
yeah, it's like, and also it's like that validation is also tough to take sometimes because you're like, I know that I have to hold it in me because you get so many no's. So when the casting is like, you are great, you're like, thank you so much. That's great to hear. But also I know like I have to be, just have to like keep your heart safe, I guess, in like these spaces. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe that's what I'm still doing where I'm like, yes, thank you so much. But also there's so many talented people like.
And like, yes, also I'm talented, but like, I still might not get the role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you want to accept that you're like believing like, yeah, like I am talented and it's cool. And of course I see that I'm only one of eight, but also you still might not give it to me anyway. Like, you know, it's like, that's like the part that like feels a little bit invalid to feel like you not made it, but like you're like, yeah, I deserve to be here.
But the people behind the table were
so nice.
They were so nice. And it was very clear that they were passionate about the project, the work. And I remember the director was like, girls, I know you can sing. Okay. Just blow me away. Just give it to me. And I was like, okay. And I just remember like centering myself and they were just calling us. I was number 71 and they were like, okay, number 71. And I just like stood up there and like grounded myself and was like, pretend like you only get to sing this one time. This is your final show for these people in front and go. And I like let myself really like have it. And I think I did. No, not I think I did the absolute best that I could. And I know I left my heart there and just let them have it. So
and everything else is out of your control. You did the best you could. You left everything on that stage. And no matter what happens, you can feel good about that.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I told Ryan going into that callback. I was like, I just want to make myself proud and like be like, you did it. And I felt so prepared and so ready. I was like, I feel good. Like, I just feel so calm and at ease. And it was just so empowering. Yeah. So what an experience.
It was crazy. We had two separate callback day, so we weren't together, which was unfortunate.
That was the first time
we auditioned for a show together that we weren't at callbacks together. So me the whole time like, okay, this is happening and this is happening, and me texting her the whole time, and then vice versa. But when I was there, I remember them saying like, we all know that you can sing, we know you can dance, whatever, that's why you're here. So yay, be good at singing and dancing, but like do something different, like show us something else. And I was like,
now blow us away.
Now blow us away. It was like that type of vibe. But that was like honestly the first time I was in a callback where I was like, you could cast everyone in here. Like it was not like a, okay, you know, there's probably about 5 or 6 or 7 that's really giving it to them and everybody else is like kind of fumbling their way through. That was not the vibe. I was like, you could cast anybody in here.
You said everyone was top notch.
Everybody was top notch. Which, and then in that moment, I was like, okay, cool. That means me too.
Yes.
Like, that means I'm here with this.
Look who I'm surrounded by.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I'm on this level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a viewer there.
I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah, she was like, we came in and we like did the dance or whatever. And then she came up to me and she was like, hey, I listen to 20 whatever and I like watch your channel. I watch all your videos and I saw that I watched your audition video and I like totally knew what show you were auditioning for. And like, I live here and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, hey girl.
Oh my gosh.
That was really fun. Totally unexpected. And then another moment of me being like, that's right. I post things on the internet that real people see.
This is
a moment of like, oh yes, correct. Right. Hello.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But it was fun because I was like, not our viewers being theater girls.
Right.
Yeah. But I was like, correct.
And talented theater
and
girl.
And talented. Again, that was the other thing too. I was like, I mean, if you're here and I'm here and we're all here, that means we're really giving.
theater baby.
Yeah, so we're waiting,
we're still in the waiting.
Yes,
as soon as we know, obviously.
Do you want to say the role you were being considered for? Because when you said it, I was like, oh my God,
give the tea.
So I originally got called back for the ensemble, which is like my bread and butter, my favorite thing. I want to be in the dances. Like, let me do the thing. So we're dancing. They gave us some like callback material prior to the callback. So we had been, you know, rehearsing and practicing with what they gave us for about a week and a half. And that day they kind of quickly ran through what we already were supposed to know. And they were going to send everybody home that wasn't called back for the roles of Vanessa and Graffiti Pete. And so we all left, and then they were like, actually, everybody come back, and everybody's going to learn this combo real quick. Good luck to you. It's really fast, and we're not really. Just figure it out. I don't know. And we were like, period. So we all learned it, did it, and then they were like, okay, we saw what we need to see. Everybody can go home. So we're packing up, and they call my number out, and they're like, 42. And I was like, oh,
that's me.
That's me. And I'm like, yes. They're like, oh, when you're ready, can you come over to the table? So I went over to the table. And the whole time I'm like, I forgot to fill out something on the form, or they're going to ask me if I can come do whatever, whatever. Like, just, you know, logistics, because there's nothing to say to me. And the director was like, hey, we wanted to ask you if you would be okay with us considering you for the role of Graffiti Pete. And I was like, what? I was like, yeah. And they were like, you know, we saw everything we needed to see today, so we don't need to see anything anymore, but like, we want to consider you for Graffiti Pete. And I was like, yes, that would be fantastic. Okay. Bye.
Which, by the way, for those of you that don't know, in the Heights, Graffiti Pete is like dancer house down boots.
Yeah.
Is why I'm sure they watched you dancing.
Right.
And then they had to pull you aside and be like, and by the way, can we consider you for this badass role? Because you're actually, you must have, I wasn't there. So unfortunately, if not, I would have videoed this.
Right.
But I know that you were just giving it and selling it so much out of like so many people that they were like, and also by the way, can we have you as like a featured dancer?
Yes.
Right.
And you know what that tells me? That in this massive group, right? Your eye always goes to someone. Like when you're watching a show, there's always kind of someone in the ensemble who you're like, oh, they're like a little special.
Yeah.
Like, it's the facial expressions or the way that they're hitting every move. That was you at the callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That you were in this group and there was something about the way that you dance and the essence of who you are that made all of their eyes go, whoop.
Right.
They only said, and by the way, number 42, can we talk to you after? You know, it's not like they said, and the following people, can we all? It literally was you.
Just
that
you.
They asked.
It caught me so off guard because I thought I was fine. Like, I was like, I did what I needed to do. I came here and I did what, and it was fine and whatever. But I did not think that I was doing anything above and beyond for them to say anything. So I was really caught off guard. But then I was like, but you know what, period. Because if I thought, because I was like, you know what? Right. Because if I was really giving it to you when I was really feeling like I was prepared, then you know what? Correct.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Right. I had that thought too.
You like that? Oh,
I was
girl.
Like, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, girl.
She's like, my back's a little hurt. So, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah. Because I literally hurt my back that day trying to practice for the damn callback. And me go like, okay, well.
But that's so real though.
Yeah.
Like, prepping for auditions and like accidentally hurting yourself a little bit.
And I haven't auditioned for anything in so long either. So this is the first show in like so long.
Right.
And I'm like so out of practice, so out of shape. I was huffing and puffing, girl. It was crazy. I was like, I need to get my act together. They're going to cast me as this dance role and I can't even do 5 jumping jacks. Anyway.
I'm so proud of you guys.
Thank you so much.
I love In the Heights. I think it's such an amazing show. Such a beautifully written show. It's such a great opportunity to highlight diversity. And those two roles that you guys are being considered for both of you, it's hard to imagine a more perfect role for each of you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm dying to see you in your dancer highlights, your little transitions between scenes where you come on and do your thing. And I'm dying to hear you belt out Breathe.
Oh. Literally.
Oh. It's all in their hands
Not to put more pressure on. If not this, there will be more in the Heights shows. There will be more other shows.
Yes.
Like, we already had this conversation where look, we're both really proud of our performance.
Yep.
And if it's not this one, it just shows us to keep going, to keep trying. Because look at how far we came.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to come this far just to come this far.
Correct. And also, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And I don't want it. Like, I want it if this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
And
otherwise, I don't need it. And it's fine.
Because every show is like its own cast and its own family and its own situation. Mm-hmm. So you're like, if this is going to be the cast for me and this is my opportunity to do it with these people, let me do it. If not, let me go and I will find my other like cast, you know? And it just is like that. People have such different experiences with show too because of the people that are cast. So
totally.
Yeah. If it's meant for us, give it to us. If not, don't.
Yeah, literally. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Because let's not act like there's not so much shit going on that we're so busy. Like, we're so busy. So if we don't get it, it's probably for the best.
Yeah. God's like, why are you trying to take something on your plate right now?
Like, you don't have time for this.
Us at the buffet, just like more.
Literally.
Okay. On another note, I had written down a couple pop culture things that like just really were like ruminating in my mind when I saw them over the past couple weeks that I was like, when I see you guys, like, I really want to get your thoughts on these.
Oh, okay.
My favorite.
Yes.
I know.
So the first one is kind of a follow-up on what we talked about with Rachel Zegler.
Oh. What happened with Rachel Zegler?
I don't know any of the tea. Give me the tea.
So we had talked about months ago, I mean, really a while ago, I think it was last year, how the internet had really kind of turned on her super suddenly.
Yes.
That there was this feeling like she's unappreciative. She doesn't have respect for like the source material of Snow White.
Right.
And it got super mean girl super fast.
Yeah.
It went from like, I think she's annoying to like, let's get her.
Yeah. Let's get her. No, truly. I mean,
Yeah. And she was silent through most of that.
Mm.
Last week at the People's Choice Awards, she won an award. And she tweeted afterwards. You know, this long thing about how grateful she is for Suzanne Collins. It's the writer of Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, the Hunger Games movie that she was in, how much she loved this character. And then she ends it with, I am not for everyone, as I have learned in the past year in particular, but I have felt embraced here. Thank you.
Oh.
And my heart just kind of broke for her a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I know that feeling of like realizing a lot of people don't like you and kind of feeling like no matter what you do, you'll never change their opinion.
Right. Mm.
They're just like committed to not liking you. And it's not even for like a real reason, maybe.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what the Rachel Zegler thing is. I feel like a lot of people are just like committed to not liking her.
Right.
And it's like, that's so sad, girl. Like.
Yeah. Oh.
That's so tough.
No, that's sad. But I think she said what she needed to say, you know, with grace. And I mean, and it wasn't even a clapback, but it was like, I know that you guys don't like me.
It was an acknowledgement.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, an acknowledgement. That's exactly it.
And well, you're so right. She handled it with like a lot of grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And saying that like I'm embraced here and like really just like I'm sure that whole cast and crew was like amazing to work with too for the Hunger Games project. And that's why she's like, I can stand in this and say, and I feel like she did like also an Instagram post, something along those lines too, like a dump about everything. Like I learned a lot about myself. Like,
oh yeah.
I feel like she, but also she's so young. How old is Rachel Zegler?
I don't know. She's in her 20s. She's gotta be under 25.
She's definitely in her young, like early 20s. And so it's like, it must be so tough, like, also, like, growing up in the eye. Like, she's, again, like they said, she wasn't media trained or whatever. And it's, like, it's so tough that, like, that really is, like, now kind of, like, how you know her right now. And it's, like, she's still growing. She's still a young girl. Like, she's going to change, just like how we often say, like, every 6 months we, like, grow up even more. So, like, this girl's doing so much growing. And I'm sure by one more year she's going to be like, oh, boy. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I hope we can embrace her because she's so freaking talented.
She really
is. So talented. I find myself rooting for her.
Me too.
In a way that it feels like a lot of people don't root for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are just some celebrities that maybe it's one bad moment that really got fixated on, or maybe it's something about the way that they're perceived, but that people just really love to hate.
Yeah.
I think of Madison Beer as another one.
Oh,
I don't really know anything about Madison Beer, but I just feel like she's constantly being like just thrown on the ground. I'm like, what did she do something terrible?
I don't think she did anything crazy. I think she just did something cringe that one time. And then everybody was like, ah, you're cringy.
What cringe thing did she do?
She like, was she supposed to be in some movie?
I was supposed to be in the video.
Oh, the Ariana Grande video.
Oh.
And so she did that cringy thing and everybody was like, I'm gonna be in the
video. Right. And
she's also just like beautiful.
So that's why everyone doesn't like her. Because you're so right. I've never heard, like, I don't know anything about her, but she's just so pretty.
She, like, sings or whatever. I don't even know any of her music, whatever. Yeah. But she sings and she's pretty and she did a cringy thing. And
it's tough because if she was supposed to be in that video, that does kind of also suck.
That's what she said. She's all she was saying.
And I think I've actually seen not the first interview that you're talking about, but the follow-up where she was like, why would I lie about that also? Why would I?
I was just saying.
And that shit happens where you're literally cast and then they recast you that same day. Or you're literally on set and they replace you. You see your replacement. I've been on set where in the middle of a commercial, they literally replaced the guy that was right next to me. Oof. They were like, thank you so much, but we're actually going to have this other. And he literally got switched out right there on set.
Ugh.
Or you shoot it and then it never airs. And they're like, we've been looking for your scene. Where is it? Happened to me. I cried when they cut my Modern Family scene. Like that, I told everyone and their mother that I was in it, obviously. And I was so happy. And then I still remember getting a call from my agent being like, oh yeah, they called and they're going to need to be cutting your scene because the episode ran over. And I was like, dagger to the heart. They're never going to believe me. They're all going to think I'm a liar.
Right.
But I was supposed to be in the episode. Madison Beering it. Yeah. And you're like, damn.
Right.
But wow. Like,
but you weren't. So.
But you weren't. So cringe.
Now what? Yeah, cringe.
That poor girl. I know. These poor girls.
That's where I think it's really easy to kind of imagine them at like not as full people, right? To imagine the celebrity as a celebrity. And I think it's little windows like that of like Rachel Zegler saying, like, as I've learned this year, I am not for everyone. That's your little window into like she's a person.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine what that would feel like.
Yeah.
Right. For the whole internet. Because my audience size, so small compared to that. Mm-hmm. Right? Such a tiny, tiny percentage. And I know that, like, kind of gut punch feeling that it feels like of, like, oh, my God, they don't like me, or they don't like this thing that I made, or mm-hmm. they don't like this thing that I said. To imagine that on such a massive scale.
Right.
I think it's easy to think that they don't see it, they don't read it.
Right.
Especially mainstream celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Oh, they're so unaffected by that. And it's like,
obviously not.
Yeah. Simply but a human, and simply every video you're in is just like, I remember any Rachel video I would open up, it wasn't even like about Snow White anymore. It was just like her and it passing, and they're like, boo Rachel. Like, they were just like yep. dragging her in every comment. So I'm like, I can't imagine being Rachel Zegler and being like,
because you do,
I'm not immune
it.
At all. Of she course does see, she sees
like,
it.
Everyone sees it.
By default, she oh, has yeah. to, because it's
dude,
everywhere.
Dude, when all that like Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber, Selena Gomez bullshit was going on, I was like,
I felt so bad.
I know that Hailey Bieber is watching this and just crying, because I would be unwell.
Dude, that shit was so
I was like,
bad
you guys,
and funny
I was,
and
it
sad.
Was it was very funny, but I was like, we need to stop, you guys.
This week. When they were doing the parodies of like oh. when Hailey Bieber was like, babe, keep an eye out for Hailey. Oh. And it was the thing, I think also what happens was it was just so like easy to like meme. It was like
yeah,
memeable,
was
which
so,
is why it had
yeah.
so much traction.
Yeah.
And they just kept like
they
making,
just kept going.
You know, like they and just listen. Kept going. And I was like, you guys are really funny with
right.
this. But I feel bad for Hailey.
I felt
and
bad.
It's a balance, right? I think it's normal to, you know, for things to become memes, right?
Right?
It's normal to laugh at ridiculous things that are said and to find humor in those things that happen. And also on the other side of that, to give genuine criticism. Like,
right,
I'm not
right,
saying
right,
we
right.
have to hero worship every celebrity.
Right.
But it quickly goes from that, which I think is fine, to like, get her.
Like bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like death threats.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
you
that
know,
shit's crazy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's that fine line of like, okay, we can laugh at things. We can also be critical of things. But like, where's the line?
Right.
Well,
right.
And it's also, yeah. you know it when you see it. There's a difference between a hater and somebody offering their opinion or valid criticism.
Yeah.
Right. Totally.
Right.
For
totally.
Real.
And I'm so down. Like, give the criticism, but with lot love. Like, it's on the delivery. Like, obviously,
yep.
like, let's definitely challenge people to be better people. Absolutely. But, like, maybe let's be nice about it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, we're. Gosh dang, like, let's love each other, man. Like, it's just so silly
not
sometimes. It just gets so
let's just love each other.
Because what are we doing?
No,
like, tearing
right.
each other down. Like,
I
it's
know.
So hard already. What are we doing? Wasting our own energy trying to tear each other down. That's just so silly to me.
I know.
Agreed.
It is silly.
Put the energy elsewhere. Next.
Okay, next thing I had written down. Let's talk about 12-year-olds at Sephora. Because this has been going on for months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see the blackface kids?
Yes.
Oh.
Did you see that?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Some like 12-year-old. Well, honestly, I'm not going to lie. They looked older than 12.
Yeah, they looked
it was
like,
giving like 14, 15.
There were some minors
vibe.
And their parent.
Yes.
A parent.
And a parent.
And a parent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went into Sephora. And, you know, the testers, obviously, mm-hmm. first of all, ew. Don't
right.
touch those or use them.
Right.
And they put black foundation all over their face and, like, were walking around the Sephora, like, making animal noises.
And the parent was taking photos and videos and laughing.
Oh, you are joking. Where was this at? Where? Do we know?
I can find out.
They tracked it down.
It was in the States, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in the U.S.
Yeah.
And
right.
I believe they were there for like a cheer tournament or something. Like it was
yeah.
some kind of like sports team.
Oh, Boston.
It was in Boston.
Ooh, Boston.
Horrible.
Tragic.
Horrible. Despicable. Especially if there's a parent there.
Yeah.
Well, then
like
you wonder, that's where they learned it.
Right.
Mm,
yeah.
That,
and like the Sephora employees were like, what the fuck?
No,
like,
one girl predominantly featured in the video
yeah.
was like, this is disgraceful. I cannot believe you brought them here and let them do this. And you're standing here taking photos of it.
Yep.
Like, she was giving her the whole thing.
Well, let's talk about the kids in Sephora and also the people that work at Sephora. Because like you
no,
said.
No, as fuck.
Like,
right.
the person that clearly working at Sephora is getting paid, like, minimum wage, like, to deal with this stuff. Like,
right.
That's why I feel like TikToks really give us, like, an insight onto, like, the people that work there, the parents and the kids. So.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. let's talk about it, ladies.
So for those who have not been sucked into the TikTok machine, the 12-year-olds at Sephora was this conversation that kind of popped up, I would say around Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
that all of these young kids were doing Christmas hauls, what I got for Christmas, or, you know, shopping with their Christmas money, and getting products from Sephora, from expensive brands that are made for adults, like Drunk Elephant. And there was kind of this conversation that started as, like, the typical, like, what's going on with the kids these days? When I was a kid, I was at Justice. Or Claire's, right? That was kind of the start of it. And then it kind of morphed into, like, why are they going there? When you go to the mall, why is Sephora filled with 12-year-olds who are, you know, buying these $100-plus products and then, you know, not treating the store with respect? I think there are a couple of angles to explore there. And what I think is interesting is the idea of third spaces, right? So 12-year-olds are going to Sephora. Let's just start with that piece. Not the, like, how they're treating the store, not the products that they're buying. Why are they going to Sephora? This shouldn't be really an interesting store for a 12-year-old. But where else are 12-year-olds going to go?
Where were we going? We were going to the mall. We were going to Claire's. Like a store in the mall, I guess. But like now, also, we've recently gone to a mall. I think when we went to the JCPenney's, you just kind of get that vibe that like the mall itself isn't as like inviting or like fun.
It's empty.
But malls are dead. Malls are dead. Like, so like to go to the mall, is that as fun?
And that age, they're probably too old to be going to the park, right? Playing at the park. And when they do, a lot of the times there's this conversation of like, what are those teens doing up to no good at the park? Like, this is for children. But they, what else, where else are they going to go? There's this loss of third spaces for kids. And I think kids are always going to want to feel like adults, right? Like, we didn't go to Sephora, but sometimes we thought it was funny to, like, go to Spencer's.
Right, that was the riskiness.
Or, like, go into Victoria's Secret and look at, like, the lacy thongs.
You're going to get the pink lotion, but I'm in Victoria's Secret. So, like, by default, I'm in, like, the cool store. Oh, my gosh. Think of that. That's so tea.
I think there's a little bit of, like, lack of empathy for kids that age, and especially girls. Right? Of like, you know, oh, girls these days are so vapid and they just want to go to Sephora and buy makeup. And it's like, they want to be grown. They want to be grown up, just like all of us did when we were kids. And this is a place that is one of their very few third spaces that they can go to and walk around and feel like they're grown up. Because we used to go to Ulta when we were kids. And we thought it was so fun to look at the makeup. So I think there needs to be a little more empathy there. But on the other side, there are so many other issues.
Well, and I think the idea that, because I remember being middle school, early high school, and before I could drive, being dropped at the mall with a friend or two to go meet a friend or two. And almost always, and I know this isn't the experience for everyone, there was always an adult around, checking in, around, because it was always groups of, like, young girls. So we were being supervised to some degree.
My mom was hanging at the Starbucks.
But also, you know, almost high school age versus, like, elementary middle schoolers is a really big jump back. And I think that's the concerning part is, I heard a lot of anecdotal stuff about people talking about, like, the parents were enabling, the parents were just handing over cards or checking out, having their kid throw a tantrum because they won't buy them $600 worth of whatever the fuck. And a lot of the stories from the employees and a lot of, I think, malls, Ultas and Sephoras are implementing this now. And it's been interesting to see the fallout. Stricter rules about in-store unaccompanied minors. Because a lot of these 11-year-olds are running around, no parents. No parents. Because it is, it isn't a playground. It's a boutique shopping experience.
It's not like a Target or a department store also where it's like huge and like whatever. Sephora is tiny. You know, I'm knocking shit over in Sephora because the aisles are so small. You know what I mean?
Oh, sorry.
Because it's so small and there's so much products and, you know, they have the whole perfume, so much glass. Like, I'd be stressed in there. When we went during Christmas time, I was like, help, help, help. There's so much happening in here. And the other thing I was going to mention too with we weren't at Sephora, blah, 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 whatever, that whole rhetoric. We also weren't watching people on the internet go to Sephora. Like, the internet is what we're getting. Like, that's what we do now. So if I was 12 today,
and I opened it up, what would I see?
I'm watching Sephora hauls or Ulta hauls or whatever. I would be like, we're going to Sephora.
And also, like, it's normal for kids to be interested in skincare and makeup because that's what grown-ups do. And, but for us, it was like, oh, my God, I have to have Proactive because of the Hillary Duff Proactive commercial. That was marketed towards kids. Now it's my kids.
I know.
Right?
I had a blast from the past. Bro, I forgot about that.
I can smell
that.
It. Yeah. Sorry.
The way I was convinced proactive would solve all of my problems.
Of course. Yes. Yes. Just get proactive.
Yeah.
I genuinely. Wow. And I, the subscription and it would show up to your door. Yes. Not you our really skincare.
Unlocked. Sorry yeah, about you that. Unlocked. Did you like see us like.
Yeah.
You guys were like, we were like, yeah.
Whoa! But now these kids are watching influencers on TikTok using like anti-aging 12-step routines from Drunk right. Elephant and The Ordinary.
Retinol.
Right.
Right.
And that's what they're convinced they need. And they're going to school. And that's what people are talking about. And they're watching kids online talk about that. Mm-hmm. And it's, a lot of these products are not good for skin that's that young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention they're expensive. They're exclusionary because not everyone is going to be able to afford that.
Right.
And it's kind of perpetuating that cycle of, well, mom, I have to go to Sephora.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like we were made to believe, like, you have to wear this brand or you have to do this because if not, you will get made fun of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, was it JanSport? That backpack.
The backpacks. Oh, my God. Yeah.
When we got to middle school, if you did not have a JanSport backpack, genuinely, we were like, what are you doing?
No, literally,
because
what are you
doing? was like the bar. And if you had like an off-brand one, that poor kid was getting made fun of.
And that's where I feel like this isn't anything new.
Yeah,
right.
It's just repackaged.
It's just Sephora now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Repackaged and broadcast.
Yes.
Right. Ooh, yes. That's a good point.
Oof.
That's a really good point.
You're so right about the broadcast because, like, if there was an opportunity for me to go live at 15, I'm just so thankful that I couldn't go live because probably at 15 I would have. And I've been like, hey, guys. My gosh.
Well, first of all, cringe. Thank God. But, consumerism.
And consumer.
Yeah. That's great.
Me going to TikTok also being convinced I need that. I'm like, how would a kid not fall into that?
Right.
Because you're not coming to set and we're like, Paloma, you don't have any Drunk Elephant.
Right.
Where's your Stanley Cup?
Right.
And
right.
you still feel the pressure.
Right. Right.
For
right.
a child.
Right. You're
it's
so
the
right.
anti-aging products at 12.
Well,
yeah.
Also, yikes. With TikTok, you have parents, because I remember my mom, she still does, uses the same eye cream she's always used, sparingly.
Right.
But for the most part, like, she had very minimal skincare. So that's who I'm looking to. She also did very minimal makeup. Guess who does minimal skincare and makeup now?
Right.
No matter what she wants to try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you have all of these adults who grew up with the internet mirroring all of this for their kids too, and like not intentionally in a bad way, but
yeah,
they're like, well, mom has a 12-step skincare routine.
There's so many different issues with it, right? And I think it's a reoccurring thing that's happening, right, generation after generation. It's getting kind of worse and worse, especially with the broadcasting, like you said, just consumerism continuing to go after people younger and younger. Mm-hmm. And I think there also needs to be a little bit more empathy for children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're kids. They're children.
Yeah.
Who's driving them to the Sephora? I'm glad that we're putting some rules so they're supervision.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Because I feel so horrible for the employees
exactly.
who have to deal with that.
Yeah. Girl, and this ain't a daycare.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
Yeah. No, right. It's like when you go into like a really nice store and you just know that you need to like behave a little bit, like it's fine. And if you don't want to behave, you can go to the stores that are meant for you.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the problem. What stores are meant for and places are meant for kids that age.
Yeah.
Build-A-Bear.
True. Listen, when Build-A-Bear first hit the scenes, I think I had my birthday party there. My brother did too.
Yeah.
I went to that year, like everybody had their birthday party at Build-A-Bear there at the mall. I remember.
Right.
Oh,
totally.
Which another store like this kind of that I also feel like the kids really enjoyed because it makes sense that they were into it. Lush. When Lush first hit the scene,
yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of kids in that store because they could get the bath bombs, a little smellies.
Right.
And it was
and
just
that
like,
feels appropriate
for sure to me. For sure,
yeah,
absolutely. But I
that's
one of those things
right,
that
though.
I was like, oh dang, yeah. like this is I didn't mm-hmm. even think that this would be catered to children, but the more it was popping up, there was kids always there with their little Lush bags,
right? Yeah,
you know, like we would have our Victoria's Secret bag buying lotion, buying
right.
buying
but,
soap,
but
it says
Victoria's Secret
bag.
I get totally
exactly. yeah okay. Last thing I wanted to talk about has been very present in my mind because of the stage of life that I'm in. And it's two people without kids, but two people who have been children.
Mm.
I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Okay.
There's been this conversation on especially the parenting side of TikTok lately of should your partner come first or should your kids come first?
Mm.
Should a lot of people say your marriage comes first, the kids come second, right? And by doing that, you create a better environment for your kids. Mm-hmm. But then people were coming out who were saying, I come from divorced parents, or I come from parents who are together, but I was not put first, and here's how it messed me up.
That is, first of all, a very tricky question.
Very.
Can I weigh in?
Please.
I think at the end of the day, like, push comes to shove, because I think you're right. It's a balancing act between – it is a seesaw of what do they call it? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But to me, it's the kid, because the kid did not ask to exist.
Right.
Yes.
And everybody else at some point made consensual decisions to arrive into a marriage and at that point, mm-hmm. and has the agency as adults to – take steps to dissolve that marriage, to work on that marriage. It's just a very different playing field than a kid to an adult.
Right. Mm.
And I think it's even saying that's so complicated.
And I've heard, like, the thing where they say, like, you can't put your kids first, because then, like, once your kid's grown up and they leave you, like, it's just you and your partner, like,
right.
things like that. And so, but I'm like, is there a way where we can't lose that also, you know?
Right.
Right.
Like, why... Like, of course, the needs of this tiny human is, like, what we got to do for the next 18 years or
right.
actually for the rest of their lives. Right. So it's like, I don't know. I guess that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm with Jess because I'm like, nobody asked to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, you made the decision to, like, get married or whatever the situation is. And, like, you can also just make the decision to, like, not be with them anymore. But the kid doesn't get to just decide to not do this anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But also, right,
like, when you get to that, if you put
yeah.
all of your focus
right.
on the kids, it is so common for when the kids are grown and out of the house for the parents to realize, I don't know you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I don't know myself, because, like, and now it's like, now what do we do?
Right.
Yeah.
The kids are
Cause,
gone.
Because the kid's no longer here, because the kid yeah. will not stay with you forever.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but the spouse that you chose, I guess, would be the forever. So it's like,
right.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's so tricky.
Oh, God, I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
I know. I want to hear your thoughts.
I'm like,
yeah,
you got kids.
I have kids. One on this earth, one in my stomach.
Yeah, one on its way.
Yep, one on its way. I've thought a lot about this. I've talked a lot about this with Steven. And I also recently brought this up to my dad while we were playing Pokemon Go.
Right.
You know, so what do you think about? You
yeah.
know?
yeah.
And what I believe is the kids come first when they're young. Because the reality is, kids are only so young that they need so much from you for such a little amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The vast majority of the time that I know Grace, she will be an adult. She's not going right. to live in my house. This time where she needs so much from us and is such a focus of our lives is relatively minor.
Mm. Right.
And we made the decision to bring a child into this world, Steven and I. Mm. And I believe it's our responsibility to, in these really formative years and when she does need so much from us, to prioritize her.
Yes.
Mm. But not endlessly, right?
Right.
Like, that we still need to find pockets to prioritize each other when we can. And a time will come when we can get back to prioritizing us over everything.
Right. Right.
And Steven and I are both on the same page with that, where we're like, this is such a crazy time to have a two-year-old and, you know, to be about to have a newborn. We're not going to have as much time to talk about all the things that we want to talk about and, you know, sleep in on the weekends and watch movies and do all of our hobbies. But we will.
Right. You will.
We will. Mm-hmm. That we're going to have so much time for that, especially having kids relatively young.
Right.
We've got so much time and we've had time for that.
Right.
And now we've made the decision that we're ready to enter this phase of our lives where, you know, if we are stepping on each other's toes or we really need to talk about something that upset one of like each other, that we can be like, hold on, Grace needs something. Let's take care of this. And then later tonight after she goes to bed, let's talk about it. But like for right now, we're not going to.
We're a united front to help baby.
Right. Right.
But also making sure that we don't completely sideline our relationship so that when she is out of the house, we have a relationship and a marriage left.
Right.
Because that is so common.
Right.
But it's such a balance, right? And so we've decided we're prioritizing our kids for this season, but we're also looking forward to the future when it will just be us again at home.
Yeah.
Because again, this is a really short time, but I think in this time, it's important to prioritize our kids and give them everything that they need and our focus and our attention.
Mm-hmm.
which is the opposite of what I heard in the church growing up. Because I feel like it is a super common thing in the church to be like, your marriage comes first. Like, God wants you to prioritize your marriage. And like, the part that isn't said about that is like, they kind of sideline kids a lot in religion. Like, kids aren't really viewed as like full people.
It's also like, you will serve your husband.
Right.
That's like really what it is.
Exactly. It's not you should prioritize your relationship.
Marriage, yeah.
You need to prioritize your husband because you serve him.
Correct. Yeah, literally barf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like your household and then your family and make sure you have that together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up because that's the quiet part.
And it's really loud. The silence is loud. Yeah. What did your dad say?
Yeah, my dad's take was interesting. It was, you know, like he talked about how in their house, they really wanted to prioritize us as the kids, but they also made sure to make time for each other and space for each other's like emotional needs as well. And they went out on date nights every now and then, but really more than anything, it was like being there emotionally and not using up all your emotional capacity because now their kids are out of the house and they're like so in love. Like, and they've always been so in love. And like, I'm like, it's been like 30 years. When are you getting out of the honeymoon phase?
Right.
But it's sweet. I'm like, I never felt sidelined as a kid, but somehow you guys still maintained such a strong marriage.
Right.
Oh my God. So sweet. I love that. Oh my gosh. That's the goal.
Right. Yeah.
Being married with children and they're all grown up and still feeling like you're in the honeymoon stage.
Yeah. Ugh. And they were saying now it's fun because they prioritized us well enough and feel like they gave us a good start that we're well-rounded adults and self-sufficient and they get to, you know, look at that and be like, wow, we did really good. And now we get to sit back and be grandparents and hand the baby back when we're done.
Yeah. Right.
And go home and like watch our TV shows together and go in the hot tub and like hang out with our friends. And I'm like, that's really cool. And I want to be able to do that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Me too. Damn.
But it's complicated, right?
I was going to say, of course, it's always like easier said than done. And it's like just always having to like actively every month be like, okay, we're going to set a date. So we're going to sit some time together or just like have just like time just like alone, you know? And that's tough. Like, I mean.
And I mean, not everybody can even do that.
Yeah, right.
Not everybody has the ability to be like, even this one day a month, like let's, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see you in the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. That's where we could, you know what I mean? Like you're brushing your teeth and I'm taking a shit and I love you, baby. And that's all we have.
Right. And like a lot of the times that's where Stephen and I are at this stage of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have the privilege to have such an amazing village around us who can support us and, you know, get us time together because that is most of our time is like, we're, like the small
passing.
Time. Yeah, it's in passing and the time that we have together, we have to go over all these logistical things. But like this weekend, we're going on our baby moon. And that wouldn't be possible if I didn't have family who was so involved and so willing and lived close.
Right.
And that I felt comfortable leaving my child with.
Right.
Because she's like, I'm going to Grandy and Pappy's house. Yay!
Right. And you're like, oh, thank God.
And I'm not like feeling guilty about leaving, you know?
Right.
But that's a huge privilege.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you guys are going to have so much fun.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
And then how long? And then, okay, so how much longer?
So I haven't said this on the internet yet, but I have my C-section date scheduled.
Oh.
That you guys know.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yep. And so now I literally have a countdown. So it's about 7 weeks from now. As of filming this.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty soon.
Yes.
So I've got a little bit more time left of like work and filming, but it's really starting to ramp down. Like this was my biggest week left. And then I'm going to roll up to the hospital. Fresh 5 a.m. They're going to cut this little fetus out of me. And I'll be a mother of two.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
She's going to be a mother of two.
I know. She's a mother.
Oh, my God.
And then I'll be on maternity leave for about 8 weeks. And I guess this is a good time to say, too, 20-whatever is not going on pause.
Oh, yeah. It's not going on pause, but it will have a takeover from Ryan and P.
Oh, so, yeah. Get ready,
ladies. Yeah, buckle in.
Strap yourselves in.
It's fucking wild. That's what I'll say.
Make sure to keep your hands and feet inside. This is the craziest wild in the wilderness.
Yes.
myself. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when we were planning my maternity leave, because we did like our whole breakdown of episodes and how we're going to do it, like literally in, what was that, like November?
Oh, yeah.
So in preparation for my maternity leave, instead of just throwing these guys into it and all of a sudden it's 2 months of straight solo episodes, they were saying, you know, let's warm up, let's ease in, dip our toe before we go balls deep.
Yeah.
Could have said that better.
Yeah. No, I like it. Let's keep
necessary.
That.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's going to be, I think, 2 solo episodes of you guys in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Before my maternity leave.
Mm-hmm. So it'll kind of be like popcorn. Like it'll be a random episode where Sierra won't be there, but then the next episode she will be. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. So we won't be there yet, but when it's consecutively Ryan and Paloma in a row, Sierra's on maternity leave.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be getting warmed up, starting with, you guys just filmed the first one, right? Yesterday?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Truth or Drink.
So we are coming in hot, ladies.
Yes. That's going to be next week.
Yes.
And I cannot wait to watch.
Yes. We didn't tell her anything. Yeah. So she's going to have to watch it just
like
y'all.
I like want to tell her, but I'm like, no, I genuinely think that you're just going to get so much enjoyment just watching it. No.
I'm so excited.
Because it's juicy.
It's juicy.
Like there were moments where you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was downstairs with Grace when you guys were filming this and I kept hearing like the cackling and I was like, what is it?
I know.
I have to know. But next week.
Next
so look
week.
Out for that. I'll be sadly sipping my juice box along with you guys. Yeah. So yeah, that's what's coming down the road.
That's what's been up with us. Anything else, ladies?
Woo girl moment?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I do have one here. Which, by the way, you guys, I have loved seeing your comments for your Woo Girl Minute. It is so amazing to see that and hear the things that you're celebrating. And also, what I love even more than that is you guys responding to each other's comments.
Yes.
Like when hyping each other up.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. I'm like, yes, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
All right. And we are all in this together today for Allison.
Allison.
From the comments of a recent episode who said, Woo girl moment. I just opened my own private therapy practice working with adults with anxiety, perinatal health, and body image.
Woo! You go, Allison.
Literally. I was almost going to say period instead of woo. So woo, period.
This doesn't feel even minutely appropriate for the amount of accomplishment that is, but what a slay.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, big slay.
Truly.
Mm-hmm. Love so that. Happy for you.
Yes.
And the work that you're doing. It's so needed.
I was just about to say it's necessary.
Yeah.
It's necessary.
We see you and we're so excited for you.
If you want to have your Woo Girl Minute read on the podcast, please leave us a little comment down below or you can fill out the form that is in the description or you can DM us on Instagram.
Yes. Let us know what you are celebrating today, be it big or small, whatever stage of life that you're in. All of these things are worth celebrating. Maybe it's just that you got out of bed this morning. And that's been hard. Or maybe that it's that you got your doctorate. Like anything in between.
Yeah.
Yep.
We want to celebrate you.
So thank you guys so much for watching. Please make sure you are following us on Instagram and TikTok as well as subscribed here on YouTube. And that's everything we have for you today. So we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.